Good morning and welcome to the MMA Podcast, April 3rd, the MMA Podcast, episode 224. We got a lot to break down, including this Saturday's UFC 223. Gonna dive into the news in a second. We have Tony Ferguson out. It's not an April Fool's joke. He will not be fighting Khabib Nurmagomedov. The fight's been canceled for the fourth time. Maybe the most cursed matchup in MMA history. Tony Ferguson out because he trips on a wire at a filming an interview or something. Just bizarre stuff. But in steps Max Holloway, the featherweight champ, to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov for the undisputed lightweight championship. Going to talk about all that and more. UFC 223, Thug Rose versus Joanna 2, a gang of fun fights, and we got some crazy fight announcements, including just a few hours ago, it was announced for the interim strap, the interim welterweight strap in Rio de Janeiro at UFC 224. Next month, we're going to have Rafael Dos Anjos and Colby Covington fighting for that interim strap. Apparently, Tyron cannot fight anytime soon. Going to be talking about that. But first and foremost, got to introduce the other man on the line coming from the deserts of Southern California. He's on Twitter at Sweet Pappy Jones. P Money, what's going on?
Jake, it is a beautiful day. The sun is shining. The birds are chirping. And we're breaking down that MMA action. Always a pleasure. It's one of the best times of the year for sporting. You know, everything's really ramping up. Man, I'm just very hyped up. Got a good bit of news to discuss. And time for what is easily the most stacked card of 2018 thus far.
Yeah, and I'm, I don't know if you, you know, I was thinking, man, am I coming through too hot here? Because I am very excited for this weekend. Like you just said, the most anticipated card of 2018, UFC 223. Unfortunately, the main event, that huge fight between Tony Ferguson and Khabib Nurmagomedov, canceled because the interim champion, Ferguson, injured at the last moment. This, the fourth time this fight matchup has been canceled. But man, as bummed as I am about Tony Khabib being canceled, I might be even more pumped for Max stepping up, the current featherweight champion. The idea of him fighting Khabib is great. If he wins, imagine that storyline, him holding both belts that Conor used to hold. Even though Conor's the one with the win against Max, just that storyline on its own would be incredible. But on the other side, you have probably the most feared, maybe right now, the most feared lightweight of all time. I mean, even BJ in his prime, people are scared to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov the way he just ragdolls everyone. We're going to get to that just in a minute, not to bury the lead there, even though that's exactly what I did. Going to get into some news first, and we're going to lead off with news that just dropped a few hours ago, and I just mentioned Colby Covington, the brash, often outspoken American. He's not the most popular guy in Brazil. I'll just say that, with many death threats coming after he pulled a Chael Sonnen and insulted the nation of Brazil, calling them all savages. I'm not sure exactly what he said, but I think that was it. I don't have the quote in front of me. But yeah, Colby will be traveling down to Rio to fight Rafael Dos Anjos for the interim belt. I'm not sure what the status is with Woodley. You know, he said he was going to get his shoulder worked on, and then he didn't. But apparently he's not fit to fight in the next few months. So next month we're going to see at UFC 224, Colby Covington, Rafael Dos Anjos. I don't really have any problem with them making these two guys as your interim contenders. You know, you have Dos Anjos and Covington. Covington especially coming off that big win against Dos versus Maya, rather. And Dos Anjos himself putting up some impressive performances, looking good at 170. I like the matchup. I think it's fair to say whoever wins that fight has earned their right to fight the undisputed champ in Woodley. You know, it follows this trend the UFC has been doing, just trying to hand out as many belts as possible. It seems we've had so many more interim champs the last 2 or 3 years than we had before that. But what do you make of that matchup between Dos Anjos and Covington, Pat?
Well, it's a good matchup, definitely a logical one. Just if Woodley is not ready to come back from his shoulder surgery, these are definitely the two most qualified guys at 170 pounds, or two of the most qualified guys at 170 pounds to be in line for a title shot. Woodley's going to need to find someone when he cuts back, and so it's good to know that this interim title fight right here, if nothing else, will serve to just officially determine who Tyron Woodley is going to face when he comes back to unify the interim and undisputed championships. Good style fight. Should be an interesting one. Both these guys have a lot of good momentum on their side. Rafael Dos Anjos, of course, former UFC 155-pound champion. Been looking fantastic since he went up to 170 pounds. This will be a great litmus test for him. And I guess the same could really be said for Colby Covington. Although, heck, he sure did a fine job taking out Damian Maia in Brazil back in October. So he's proven more and more as of late that he can hang with the top fighters out there. So this is certainly going to be a great fight, and it'll be good to know who Tyron Woodley's opponent's going to be once he's healed up and ready to go, or at least one of his presumed opponents. Who knows? Could be a money fight in the works for him. Who knows what's going on there?
Yeah, Colby looked great against Damian Maia, and obviously Rafael Dos Anjos coming off that big decision win against Robbie Lawler back just 4 or 5 months ago at that UFC on Fox card. Both of them, you know, I don't blame the UFC for giving a title shot to either of them. Looking forward to that fight. And I guess as it gets closer, we'll give you our predictions on which way it's going to fall. Other news coming through the MMA media outlets: Wonderboy versus Till, another welterweight scrap. This is going to be in England, I believe. The date, May 27th, and that'll be UFC Fight Night in Liverpool. Surprising to hear Wonderboy. I don't know if he was talking to Helwani or who he was being interviewed by, but you rarely hear Stephen Thompson talk a lot of shit, and I don't know if you really can interpret it as direct shit talking, but he said he had no idea who Darren Till was and was surprised that they were making him fight this guy in his own backyard. So Wonderboy kind of throwing a little bit of shade toward Darren Till, saying, you know, he doesn't know who this guy is. He has no idea why the UFC is giving him this fight in his own backyard, when Wonderboy obviously feels like if either one of them should get the fight in his own backyard, it's him. So the current number one ranked welterweight, Stephen Thompson, who obviously isn't getting that interim shot because of that recent loss to Woodley, looking to get back in the mix against another striker, Darren Till. This is going to be a lot of fun. This will be a fight where I think, you know, when you look at both guys' styles, I don't think either guy has a problem standing up and seeing what's going to happen. Obviously, it'll be a matter of Wonderboy trying to stay on the outside and pick his shots, and Darren Till kind of trying to use his strength, and he'll probably have the task of having to march down Thompson. It'll be interesting to see what happens in this one. May 27th, so just 6 or 7 weeks away. Looking forward to it. What are you thinking? Stephen Thompson taking on Darren Till, UFC Fight Night, a Sunday. I guess that's Memorial Day weekend, maybe. So in Liverpool, in Till's backyard.
Oh, I'm loving this one. It's definitely going to be a great fight between two top-notch strikers. Till a little more heavy-handed with his kickboxing style. Stephen Thompson more a little more methodical, let's say, with his karate-based striking set. But, man, both of them, they bring it. Definitely two of the best strikers at 170 pounds. Always fun to watch both of these guys. Putting them in the ring, man, this is going to be a great clash of styles. Yeah, I was very surprised as well to see that article. Stephen Thompson had kind of definitely sprinkling a little salt on Darren Till there. But hey, it was good to see. And, you know, hopefully Wonder Boy can put on a good display. I mean, I'm sure no matter which way this fight plays out, it's going to be a fun demonstration of heart and technique. The kicks are going to be flying, the strikes, oh my goodness. I'm salivating at the thought. This is just going to be a great matchup. Tough to say which way I'm leaning early. I mean, this really, really is one I think could go either way. Both are very good at what they do. Man, it's going to be a tough one to call, but definitely a fun one to watch.
Yeah, and both of those welterweight fights, Covington, Dos Anjos, and Wonderboy Till, both going down in May. Looking forward to those fights. Other news, you know, it's been floated around recently in a of all places, a wrestling promo on the WWE. Brock Lesnar hinting at a return to the UFC. I think recently Dana White posted a picture of him. I guess side by side with their arms around one another, smiling and just with a smiley face caption. We apparently were going to see Brock Lesnar return to the UFC and take on Jon Jones before the suspension. I don't know if that would be in the cards now that Jon Jones might be returning from suspension in the next year. He's already been out for a while. The whole Jon Jones thing, I think, is kind of up in the air. And as is, you know, Lesnar returning to the UFC, but all signs seem to point toward both of them coming back. What do you think about Brock? If he comes back, who makes sense for him? Do you share the opinion of mine that he's probably going to return to the UFC in the next year or two? Rumors are that he's at an impasse in contract talks with his bosses over in pro wrestling at the WWE. What do you make of all the Lesnar news?
Yeah, it was very, very interesting to hear, to see on Monday Night Raw, hate to mark out being on the MMA podcast, but hey, that's where it broke. Paul Heyman saying that Lesnar would be saying hello from the UFC ring if he were to leave WWE. So he's saying, hey, he's got options, and he's willing to entertain these options. It would be very interesting. I mean, Brock Lesnar, I'm assuming, would have to enter the six-month USADA drug testing pool this time before re-entering the ring if he did decide to go back to the UFC, which I think would just be super interesting. You know, can he do it? Can he make it through the six-month cycle? I mean, hey, Brock Lesnar has only been popped once in his life. And that was under the USADA testing once they implemented that. So is he going to go through the whole six-month testing pool? Will he be able to maintain that same mass? I mean, Brock Lesnar, he's been that huge his entire life. I don't think he could really even deflate that much, but who knows? As far as who he might face, it could be Jon Jones. You know, Jon Jones was angling for a fight with Brock Lesnar. Talk about money fights. You know, Jon Jones, one of the pound-for-pound best in the UFC. Some say one of the pound-for-pound biggest drug cheats. I don't know. I mean, he has popped multiple times. Every time he's fought DC, he's popped. His performances prior to USADA, you know, even during USADA when he had been busted. I mean, he put on some great fights. He's looking to get paid as well. Everyone's, you know, seeing this McGregor money, what he's been making. They're trying to angle for their piece. So I could see that happening, especially with the War Master, Josh Barnett, getting cleared in his USADA case, or at least getting let off with a public warning or something like that. I really feel that a lot of that ruling sets some precedent up for John Jones in his latest drug fail. Now that the suspension has been left up to USADA, and USADA just gave Josh Barnett a public warning, even though he's already been out for like 16 months or something like that. I don't know. I feel John Jones could be back in the ring or in the octagon fairly soon himself. And I think it could be against Brock Lesnar. I don't know. That'd be a gigantic fight.
So the official return of Brock Lesnar up in the air. John Jones, when he will return, also up in the air. Another bit we learned about UFC 226 this July in Las Vegas. Gokhan Saki will be fighting his opponent, also up in the air. But we know it'll be Gokhan Saki versus TBA at UFC 226. He has a reputation for sure. Hasn't always delivered in the UFC, but has had his moments for sure. Anyone stand out? I really can't think of anyone off the top of my head who makes the most sense. I don't think anyone has called Saki out. He's 1-0, I guess, so far in the UFC. He fought at UFC Japan against Henrique da Silva. I say throw him another bum, you know, let him get a KO win on a little bit bigger stage, introduce him to the fans, give him CM Punk. Let's see Gokhan Saki fight CM Punk or Floyd at UFC 226. It'll get, you know, that whole thing out of the way, and we get to see Saki hammer in a big KO win. I like that plan.
I like that plan as well. That definitely that would definitely be fireworks for July. It's a good question. You know who Saki would take on. It's definitely going to be fantastic just to see him get back in, get back into the cage there. Big fan of his kickboxing work, obviously, and yeah, very much looking forward to seeing what he can do in MMA. He's 1-1. Man, I was thinking maybe. Let's see. Well, it's so hard for me to even think. I was thinking maybe Patrick Cummings or something like that. That may be too deep. Kind of the opposite line of thought from you, Jake. That's maybe a little too deep for a guy who's just 1-1 in MMA at this point. But either way, I'm sure they'll put together a nice opponent for him. Hopefully be a good scrap. I'd love to see Saki get another KO in the UFC and continue to do or just build a little MMA momentum and hopefully do some good things.
And the last fight announcement, I think we have to go through another fight announced today. Donald Cerrone taking on Leon Edwards, scheduled for UFC Singapore. Leon kind of calling out why Till has gotten a push and he hasn't. Calling out Till getting that fight against Cerrone, and I guess they're giving Edwards the same opportunity that Till got to take on the Cowboy. Going to be the headliner of UFC Singapore, which I guess will be in on June 23rd. Cerrone snapped a 3-fight losing streak when he defeated Yancy Medeiros this past February. Leon Edwards on a 5-fight winning streak just beat Peter Sobotta in March. They've yet to announce the specific location, but it will be in Singapore. It'll be the UFC's third trip over there. Should be exciting. Man, Cerrone might be a live dog in this fight. You know, I think a lot of people are pointing to Cerrone kind of being on. He hit that 3-fight losing streak, but that was a really impressive fight against Yancy Medeiros. I don't think we've seen the last of Cowboy. What do you make about this fight against Leon Edwards, who himself is looking very good on a 5-fight win streak?
Yeah, this is definitely a good booking for Donald Cerrone. Man, Leon Edwards, definitely a tough draw. He's got a lot of momentum. I know Edwards was calling for Till. He was calling for that Liverpool fight. But hey, he may not have gotten that, but he's got another main event and against arguably a bigger name at Donald Cerrone. I mean, well, really, it's not even arguable. Donald Cerrone is definitely a bigger name than Terrence Hill, so may even be an upgrade there. A nice feather in the cap for the UFC Singapore card. Man, that's going to be an excellent one. Two guys that love to strike and both have great styles. I mean, I feel like early, you know, Leon Edwards, he's got that momentum on his side. He's really been looking good as of late. But Donald Cerrone, you certainly can never count him out. And he's definitely looking to get that positive momentum continuing to roll in his corner. So, man, big fight for both guys.
Big drama fight. Fight, you know, we talked about cursed matchups earlier in Tony and Habib, which is actually our next topic. But before we get to that, talk about matchups that have tried to have been made multiple times, and it seems like fate refuses these from going down. Carlos Condit and Matt Brown, they were supposed to square off next week, but Brown suffered a torn ACL. The UFC is trying to keep Condit on the Glendale card, but no new opponent yet. This news breaking about 24 hours ago. Still no new opponent announced for Carlos Condit. Hopefully we can see him fight on that card coming, not this weekend, but next weekend. Just tough news there. And yeah, next weekend's card in Glendale is going to be fun. Dustin Poirier, Justin Gaethje. Looking forward to breaking that down next week. But first, let's get to UFC 223. That's this weekend's card. And like I said, you know, we all thought it was an April Fool's joke at first. When it broke, not much more than 48 hours ago. But Tony Ferguson apparently was filming some sort of interview. He claims he wasn't wearing his sunglasses, but we know that guy always wears his sunglasses indoors. And that's probably why he tripped on apparently just one of those really big big cables that, you know, hooks the cameras up and you see on studio. Tripped on one of those and hurt his LCL. I believe he tore it. He wanted to fight. Doctors wouldn't let him, as the story goes. There was a video that came out recently of him kicking a steel beam over and over with his shin. Apparently that Tony claims that was from his camp in Big Bear versus Kevin Lee. It was an old video. It just was bad timing that it came out right now. Supposedly. So, yeah, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but the facts are the facts, and the facts are that this is the fourth time Tony Ferguson and Habib Nurmagomedov is canceled. Tony will be stripped of his interim belt. Conor McGregor will be stripped of the undisputed lightweight belt. And like I said at the intro, before we get to Max, I guess we should talk about Tony, the injury and all that. You know, it sucks. Tony's on such this wild streak. I think we all want to see him come back and fight soon because, yeah, you know, you may question the legitimacy of some of the opponents on that streak. The facts are that when you're in the double digits, you've done something very impressive, and it's something not a lot of people have been able to do in the UFC. So, you know, I hope, obviously, Tony's able to come back and isn't held up long before he gets another shot at that title. But just terrible, terrible news in what has to be the most doomed fight matchup, the most cursed matchup of all time. Dana saying they're never going to try and put the fight on again. What was your first reaction hearing that everything was canceled? And obviously thoughts on Tony, all that.
Jake, I definitely thought it was an April Fool's joke. I said this is an elaborate ruse that the UFC, Tony Ferguson, Khabib, that everyone is in on, that this is just coming out on April 1st because it would be such a catastrophe because it would be the fourth time. And, you know, and so I was in a state of suspended disbelief. I said, if this is true, this is insane, but I'm hoping it's just an April Fool's joke. That everyone's in on, and it's been a couple days since then, and they have not said April Fools. This apparently is real life, and Tony Ferguson versus Khabib Nurmagomedov is off for the fourth time. Super unfortunate. Unfortunate to hear for Tony Ferguson. I mean, if things went down the way that they did, if you know, he did trip inside on a cable without his sunglasses on. I mean, yeah, it is really unfortunate that this video of him kicking a steel pole came out now, because it's like, it does seem kind of incredulous. I mean, that is the definition of a freak accident, that you just trip indoors and your LCL tears off the bone. Like, that's definitely a freak accident. Like, my God, if that is the case, you know, I wish him well. I wish him a speedy recovery. Anyways, no ill will towards the guy. I mean, whether you rip your LCL off the bone, tripping over a cable, or kicking a steel pole, that sucks either way. You know, hope he gets back to it ASAP. I mean, he's just been dominating the last couple years. I hate to see anything slow him down outside of the cage like that. That's, you know, hopefully something he can recover 100% from, and do so in a fairly timely manner. But, man, yeah, it's kind of one of those ones I'm kind of suspicious, Jake. I mean, this is a guy, as you mentioned, he's known for wearing the sunglasses indoors, and then the steel pole kicking. I mean, listen, limb strengthening, it's like the Mortal Kombat mini game from the very first Mortal Kombat, where, you know, you'd start off breaking the wood, then it would be the cinder blocks, then it'd be the ice, and it would just keep graduating, then it'd be the granite, so on and so forth. You know, that's a natural progression when your Mortal Kombat character is leveled up the way that Tony Ferguson is. You know, sometimes you have to kick steel to just get to that next level. You know, it's the literal iron sharpening iron situation here. So I can't fault him for that, but certainly that is a good way to, I would imagine, get your tendons falling off of the bone there. I've certainly incurred some injuries on the old hands there with punching some light poles and telephone poles, things of that nature. You know, mostly you know, whatever it may be, whatever's on the corner of the intersection, you know, you're stopped there. Some people do that, you know, that little jog while they're staying in place at the intersection. Some people start boxing up the light pole, you know, whatever. It's, you know, can't fault him for that. It's just, it's the risk. It's the risk you take, you know, just trying to get to that next level. Just crazy unfortunate, too, that the timing.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a believer in fate or anything like that, but at some point you gotta wonder if there are other factors in play keeping this fight from happening when it's been canceled four times. So Max steps in. We will break down that fight, I guess, at the end of our UFC 223 preview that we'll kick off now. We'll start with the prelims. UFC Fight Pass starts off with a featherweight fight between Zabit Magomed Sharipov, the longest name probably in UFC history. Fucking makes Roethlisberger look like Smith. Facing Kyle Bochniak, Devin Clark against Mike Rodriguez at 205. A flyweight fight between the women Beck Rawlings and Ashley Evans-Smith, and Alex Caceres taking on Artem Loboff. You know, one theme I kind of picked up on, a lot of recognizable names who really are in desperate need for that W. You have Alex Caceres, 1-3 in his last four. Artem Loboff lost his last two fights to Cub Swanson and Andre Feely. That fight, I believe, Caceres is the favorite, minus 145. Evan Smith, minus 190 against Rawlings. Zabit, a big minus 800 favorite against Kyle Bochniak. Going to the prelims on Fox Sports 1, we got Evan Dunham against Olivier Aubin-Mercier. Originally was supposed to fight Mirbek Tysunov, but he dropped off about a month ago due to visa issues. Evan Dunham, a favorite there at minus 140. Also, Joe Lauzon, another guy in need of a win. He's 1-3 in his last four, losing his last two to Stevie Ray and Clay Guida. He's going to be taking on Chris Grutzenmeier, is a favorite there at minus 165. We also have Ray Borg and Brandon Moreno, another couple guys coming off losses, trying to get a win to stay, you know, toward the top end of the flyweight rankings there. Neither guy wants to get on a losing streak, Ray Borg and Brandon Moreno. And the last fight on the prelims, Carolina Kowalkiewicz. She lost two in a row to the champ Ioana and Claudia Gadelha. Before getting back in the win column back at UFC Fight Night Cerrone Till back in October. She's facing Felice Herrig, who, you know, a lot of people counted out after that tough season, didn't do too great, lost to Paige Van Zandt. Since that loss to Paige in 2015, hasn't lost a fight, is 4-0, looks to be on a surge, and this will obviously be her biggest test, taking on the former title contender from Poland, Carolina Kowalkiewicz. Carolina, I believe, is the favorite in that one, minus 190. Ray Borg, the favorite in that flyweight fight by quite a bit, actually, minus 280. What do you make of those prelims, P-Money?
Jake, I'm liking the look of these prelims on paper. I mean, from the preliminary card on the Fight Pass, I mean, there's some good names, some good matchups there. Beck Rawlings, Ashley Evan Smith, Alex Caceres versus Artem Loboff. Nice matchups there. And Zabit Magomedsharipov and Kyle Bochniak. That should be a nice fight to kick off the card. I mean, and then Evan Dunham versus OAM, Olivier Aubin-Mercier. That'll be a nice scrap at 155 pounds. I've always been a big fan of Evan Dunham, especially his fight versus Sean Sherk. I thought that was a great one, and I was a fan of his ever since. He has not lost in his last five fights. He's had four wins and a draw to Benny El-Daryush in his most recent fight. So hopefully he can get another W there. Olivier Aubin-Mercier, he's always a tough out. Definitely a very tough kid at 155 pounds. Going to be a nice scrap there. And, yeah, Carolina Kowalkiewicz and Felice Herrig, very nice capstone to the Fox Sports 1 prelims there. Both ladies, definitely super fun to watch. It'll be a great scrap there. Both have the striking background. Carolina just haven't got right in her last fight, got back in the win column. Felice, she's looking to be in some of the best form in all of her career, really, on that four-fight winning streak. And it's definitely going to be a nice one. I mean, Ray Borg versus Brandon Moreno as well at 125 pounds. Both still some good prospects at 125. Should be a very fun scrap there. Same with Joe Lauzon versus Chris Grutzmacher. Old J-Lo, man, he's been entertaining us for so long in the UFC. I'm such a huge fan of his. He's always putting on the great performances. Performance of the night, collector extraordinaire. I'm really hoping he can get it done in this fight. It's I would hate to see him incur any more damage. He's taken a couple rough ones, especially you know, that last fight against Clay Guida. Plus just some wars in general he's been in, his wars with Jim Miller. You know, hopefully he can avoid incurring too much damage. Just want to see him enjoy that quality of life after his time in the Octagon, especially, you know, smart guy like Joe Lozon. Yeah, I don't think there's really been any official talk of J-Lo retiring anytime soon. That might just be me, you know. I mean, heck, I've been watching this cat in the UFC for well over a decade now. Props to him for still staying in there and holding his own against the best in the world after all this time.
Definitely, and that bumps us up to the main card, which one thing I love about this main card, with the exception of Khabib versus Max, all these fights are at about even odds. So any of these fights could fall either way. The first one, Al Iaquinta, he apparently has buried the shovel with the UFC. Only one fight since 2015, a win against Diego Sanchez. He is a top 10, arguably top 5 lightweight in a very, very stacked division on a 5-fight winning streak, looking to get back at it against Paul Felder, another guy who's 5-1 in his last 6. On a 3-fight winning streak, looked good knocking out Charles Oliveira at UFC 218 last December. All three of these fights are going to be fun. The second one, Michael Chiesa, he's 3-1 in his last 4, coming off a loss to Kevin Lee last summer. Lee getting that rear naked choke that vaulted him up to a fight against Tony Ferguson. Taking on Anthony Pettis, who, you know, known to be a highlight reel himself, but the last 3 years been struggling. I believe he's 2-5 in his last 7, coming off a loss to Dustin Poirier. These are two hungry lightweights coming off a loss. And I don't know if the UFC, even though this could go either way, Pettis is in desperate need for a win, and the UFC did not do him any favors matching him up against the hungry Michael Chiesa. Your next fight, Renato Moicano against Calvin Kattar. I don't think, you know, a lot of fans have heard much about either one of these guys, but you will in a short amount of time, because these are two exceptionally skilled featherweights. You have Calvin Kattar, who's on a 10-fight winning streak, going back 8 years, just joined the UFC in 2017, beat Andre Feely and Shane Burgos pretty decisively, 2-0 in the UFC, taking on a beast in Renato Moicano, who defeated Jeremy Stephens via split decision, and in his most recent fight took the first loss of his career to title contender Brian Ortega. And you can't really blame a guy that much for losing to Brian Ortega, because Brian Ortega is a damn beast. So both of these guys, easily the most underrated featherweights in the UFC, possibly two of the most underrated guys, not even in the weight class, but the whole promotion. Cannot wait to see Moicano and Kattar fight. And like I mentioned, all of these fights are around even odds. Iaquinta, a slight favorite at minus 120. Chiesa and Kattar, both minus 135. Any of these fights could go either way. As far as picking them, I think I'm going to go Iaquinta, Chiesa, Kattar. But wouldn't be shocked either way. What do you think about these ones?
Oh, Jake, I'm really loving these fights. I mean, the UFC has put on a card with UFC 223 that I look at the main card and I say, that is something I will very much consider ponying up $60 for, or going to the local watering hole where they're showing the UFC event, paying $10 for a wristband and getting in and, you know, plopping myself down for a couple appetizers and a couple cold ones. This is a nice stacked pay-per-view, as it should be. Two title fights, which is fantastic and is important, but you're paying for all 5 fights on the card. You've got to have some substantial fights on that main card with some meat on their bones. These indeed are some juicy fights here with Al Iaquinta versus Paul Felder. Both guys very exciting at lightweight. Al Iaquinta, good to see him back in there. You know, he's been doing his real estate thing. He says, you know, I'm going to get in the cage when the money's right. And hopefully that is the case at this point with him taking on Paul Felder. Paul Felder himself, he's on a great 3-fight win streak right now. Just coming off of probably one of the biggest victories in his UFC career against Charles Oliveira, getting a very nice TKO stoppage there. Some great elbows. Both these guys are big threats at 155 pounds and going to be fireworks when they match up. Same could be said with Michael Chiesa and Anthony Pettis. Both of them looking to rebound from submission losses in both of their respective most recent fights. So it'll be great to see. Chiesa, generally speaking, has had more positive momentum over the last couple of years compared to Anthony Pettis. But Pettis, you know, he's been taking on some of the absolute best in the world at 145 and 155 pounds, generally speaking, for these last couple of years. Whereas Michael Chiesa, he has been, you know, around the mid-tier of the pack. So this will be a good litmus test for both gentlemen to see really where they're at these days. I could easily see that one going either way. And Jake, as you alluded to, the odds being very close for all these fights. Really, I mean, we could sit here and we could just break these fights down. I could make strong cases for any of these guys to win these fights. Same with Renato Moicano versus Calvin Cutter. Calvin Cater. that last name. But yeah, both of these guys, super strong, very tough, good prospects at 145 pounds. Renato Moicano definitely has impressed me in the past. You know, of course, like you mentioned, Jake, no shame in the loss to Brian Ortega. Took a good close split from Jeremy Stevens, as well as getting a split from Zubair Tuhugov at 145. So 3-1 in his UFC career thus far, and I think I'm leaning his direction early in this fight. But yeah, definitely be a close one. Calvin Cater, he's put on some good shows as of late himself. So yeah, definitely liking these offerings here.
Bringing us to the main event, man, I've been so back and forth on Doug Rose versus Joanna too, because it seems bananas to pick against Thug Rose after she knocked Joanna out 3 minutes into the first fight. UFC 217 wins the strawweight championship, performance of the night. She's the new champ. It seems crazy to pick Joanna after UFC 217, but Joanna is the slight betting favorite, minus 115. Joanna hadn't lost her entire career, 14-0 going into that fight against Thug Rose. Thug Rose had lost a few before, one to Carolina Kowalkiewicz just 2016. Back-to-back losses to Tisha Torres and Carla Esparza a few years ago, around when they were first forming that strawweight division. So Rose had you know, a lot of dark spots on her record where Joanna was spotless. And for Thug Rose to go in there and starch her, you know, it for a lot of people, and I, you know, depending on the day, I might buy into it too, that, you know, I wouldn't in any way call the fight a fluke as far as, you know, it being a lucky punch or a lucky kick, because Thug Rose went out there and starched her in the first round. That's no fluky way to win. That's no split decision. That's no lucking into it. That is definitively stomping your foot down. I knocked you the fuck out in 3 minutes and three seconds, which it was some weird voodoo shit. She's from the 303. That's the area code in Denver. Knocks her out in 303. But it felt a little fluky in the way that I think Joanna might be the better fighter. I think not by a ton. Thug Rose obviously showed that she was in Joanna's league, but Joanna was just, you know, not only on that crazy win streak, but so dominant doing it. It's hard for me not to pick her in this one, and I mean, you know, double egg on my face if I pick against Rose both times and she wins both times. I think I may have done that with the Weidman versus Anderson matchup. Or no, I think I took Chris in the second one. But, yeah, you know, it's... I'm going to feel super silly picking against Thug Rose if she wins again, but Joanna Jędrzejczyk was just so dominant in those, what, she had, I think, 4 or 5 title defenses, and she's getting the rematch because of that. I think it'll be a close fight. Like I said, I'm not, you know, I think last time everyone was shocked when we saw Thug Rose knock her out. I think we'll all be prepared for Thug Rose to be on Joanna's level this time. But I'm thinking I'm going to have to go with Joanna in the rematch, as silly as it seems. Pat, what do you make of this matchup?
Jake, I've been going over the same kind of internal debate with this fight as well. I mean, Joanna has just been so dominant over the years. And I'm looking at this thinking, is this going to be like the Silva versus Weidman fight, which I'm 99% sure I went with Anderson Silva in Weidman versus Silva 2, just because Silva had destroyed everyone so thoroughly throughout his career, much like Joanna Jędrzejczyk has done. And that when Anderson Silva fought Weidman the first time, I mean, it looked like he kind of just gave the fight away. He was just goofing around. He was fainting and just, you know, feigning injury as well. And Weidman caught him slipping. And I said, man, you know, Anderson's not going to do that again. He's going to come in the second time and he's going to be Anderson. And he's going to do his thing and he's going to put him away. And we all know what happened. The unfortunate, very unfortunate outcome of that fight. You know, I feel like, is it going to be one of those, or is this going to be GSP versus Matt Serra, where, you know, GSP gets knocked out by Matt Serra, the huge underdog, comes back and proves that it was a fluke and puts a savage beating on his opponent. And I could really see it going either way here. Joanna tells a story of a horrible weight cut that was just nightmarish. And, you know, which, of course, we've all heard the horror stories. Those who have wrestled have been through it, or those who have competed in mixed martial arts. And that could certainly leave you compromised. So I can see where that could be a factor. Also, a lot of people say she was probably just overestimating Joanna, or I'm sorry, overestimating Rose on the striking department, because she had never even won a fight due to strikes, if memory serves. And, you know, she, of course, Pat Barry, being her longtime boyfriend, has a good striking coach right there. But, you know, she certainly doesn't have the credentials that Joanna had with the multiple titles and everything along those lines. So maybe she was sleeping a bit on her as well. Man, I really love both of these ladies. They're both great fighters, and I would love to see either one of them as champion. And as much as I would hate it as well, I would hate to pick Joanna twice and be wrong twice here, but dang it, I think I'm gonna have to do the same here, Jake. And I feel so stupid as well, just because it is, I mean, this was not fluky. This wasn't Joanna wasn't in there pretending like she was dazed by a punch that didn't connect or something like that. This was straight up Joanna, or I think, I don't know if it's the Nama Yunus or the, you know, I don't know, something about the similarities, I keep mixing that up. But you know, Joanna was not playing around in there. Rose just came up, punched her in the face, and knocked her out. I don't know why I'm thinking it's going to be any different, but, you know, I'll take Joanna's word on this one that she's coming to get her belt back.
Yeah, and, you know, her striking game's a little bit more well-rounded, I would say. You know, she mixes it up very well, just... I think if they fight 10 times, it may maybe go 6-4, but I think Joanna's the one who wins it 6 times. So I'm going with Jędrzejczyk to take her belt back. Bringing us to our main event, man. Max Holloway and Khabib Nurmagomedov. As bummed as I was that Tony was out, this is going to be a good one. You got two guys on crazy streaks. Khabib 25-0 in his career. Max on a 12-fight winning streak since losing to Conor all those days ago. Both of them just looking so impressive. Max has just an insane quality of opponent, and you look at all those fights that he's not only fought these insanely tough dudes, but he's beaten them decisively. Khabib, just absolute nightmare for guys. Looks so scary, beating everyone up. They got a combined 37 straight wins. And I think everyone can kind of agree stylistically what the big question mark here is. Can Khabib take Max down? Max is known for standing up, throwing a lot of body shots, wearing guys out early, finishing guys, stringing together combos. He's also got decent takedown defense. Now, granted, you know, Khabib Nurmagomedov is a much higher level wrestler than anyone Max Holloway has taken down. But Max has shown to be adept at stopping takedowns. You know, when Khabib doesn't get his shot, he usually tries to grind guys out against the cage, get that body lock. But Max actually is very good playing defense with his back against the cage. You know, breaking grips, moving his hips, getting free. So I think, you know, it seems like when Khabib can't get the shot, his next go-to is cage work. And that, you know, if he can't get the shot against Max, he might not be that successful with cage work either, because Max has shown to be very, very adept defensively. Obviously, if Max can keep the fight standing up, I think he has a big striking advantage against Khabib. But Khabib has seemed to have the ability against everyone he's fought that he can tear you down and just beat the fuck out of you with ease. The fact that Max is the lighter guy moving up might be something. I know Max still has to cut to 155. He has to cut a ton to make 45. So it isn't like necessarily he will be oversized. In fact, I think Max is the taller, kind of lankier guy than Khabib, even though Khabib is just an absolute brick shithouse at 155. Very interesting fight, man. One of the best fights the UFC could put together. Like I said, can Khabib get the shot? Obviously, bookmakers think that he can. The odds right now are pretty wild. On Five Dimes, Khabib minus 470, Max plus 375. So Vegas giving Khabib basically 5-1 odds there. A huge favorite. I think he should be a favorite as far as being this much of a favorite. I think it attests to the fact that Khabib has a insane following, and probably a lot of money was dumped on him to win the fight. So you'll see that skewing of the line. But yeah, man, if I were to bet on it, I would say Max. But at the same time, Khabib is rightfully the favorite. Who's my pick? I think Max Holloway is the best featherweight in the world. I think he'll probably defeat Brian Ortega, who is a motherfucker. I mean, you know, 145 is one of the best weight classes in the UFC. Holloway is a great champion, but Saturday night, I think, is going to be Khabib time. I think Nurmagomedov takes that matchup. I think, you know, if anyone in the UFC can take a fight and be close to 100% on 6 days' notice, I think that Max is that guy. But at the same time, you're taking on the scariest dude maybe in the UFC on 6 days' notice. I think after much ado, we'll finally see Khabib Nurmagomedov hold up UFC gold on Saturday. That's my pick. Pat, who are you going with?
Oh my goodness, this is such a crazy fight, and it's so unfortunate for the circumstances, not just because I'm pretty sure most of us want to see Tony Ferguson versus Khabib. I mean, this fight hasn't been booked four times before because no one wanted to see it. I mean, it was a deserving fight, a fight that should have been made very easily and deservingly. It should have been for the UFC Undisputed Lightweight Championship. But man, huge props to Max Holloway for stepping up to fight Khabib, a guy by most accounts not a lot of UFC fighters want to take on, and for taking him on in 6 days' notice. It's unfortunate, you know, that Tony and Khabib didn't get their fight to play out and see who the undisputed lightweight champion is, and, you know, then Max could fight them on a full training camp, because full training camp, I feel like if this were something that they had the media that they were doing for 3 months, that this was the planned match, I don't know that Max Holloway would be a plus 350 underdog. And I want to say he opened it like plus 500, but some good bets have been coming in on Max apparently, because now it's about plus 350, depending on where you're looking. But yeah, if this fight, if Max had a full camp and, you know, was up at 155 pounds, more time to get to that target weight and less of a cut to get to, not to mention the fact he was slated to fight Frankie Edgar in March, but pulled out of that fight due to an ankle injury. But here we are just a couple weeks later than when he was slated to fight, and he's going to be going up 10 pounds to fight Khabib. So I'm kind of questioning what kind of condition he'll be able to make it in. And Jake, as you alluded to, if you're looking at any fighter to step in on 6 days' notice, I would imagine Max Holloway. You know, these Hawaiians, very tough dudes. And, I mean, Max Holloway is just... he's just evolved so much over the years to become the champion that he is now and the fighter that he is now. I could see him doing it, and I could see him overcoming the odds. And, you know, I feel like he could defeat Khabib. He's got like maybe an inch on Khabib. I thought it would be a little bit larger than that, but I guess the size disparity fighting at featherweight is more pronounced than, you know, it is for the lightweight fighter. So apparently he's only got an inch in height. And allegedly, according to Wikipedia anyways, Khabib has a 1-inch reach advantage. So it'll be very interesting to see. I was, you know, kind of picturing in my head Max Holloway enjoying this super large height and reach advantage. But, yeah, I'm going to be paying close attention on weigh-ins because, you know, sometimes the tail of the tape doesn't tell the whole tale. But, yeah, it'll be very close in that regard. You know, style-wise, Jake, I think you broke it down rather expertly, good sir. I mean, Max has really worked on that takedown defense and really is a tough guy to take down. I do believe he has enough to keep it standing. But, man, Khabib, you know, who knows how long can he keep that grind going? He seems to have that kind of Damian Maya-esque grappling essence about him, where just if he grabs a hold of any part of you, he can just wrestle you to the ground and just take you into those deep waters and do what he does best. So it'll be interesting to see if Khabib can employ his game plan the way he usually does. You know, and being the bigger fighter, being 155er, having been in a full camp, you know, not having pulled out of a fight scheduled for a month ago, I think I'm siding with Khabib early in this one. I would love to see Holloway get the W in this one and be a simultaneous two-division champion and be a fighting and defending champion. That would be fantastic. And I do think he could still do it. You know, I mean, if this ankle injury was something where he just, like, rolled his ankle and, you know, didn't want to fight Frankie that particular weekend, well, hopefully he's healed up and he's back to 100%. He's ready to get in there and get after it. I think he could do it. You know, the striking is absolutely in Holloway's advantage. Holloway's striking has come leaps and bounds. I almost view Holloway's striking as similar to TJ Dillashaw's, just in the sense that a guy who has come so far from being, you know, considered a grappler or just, you know, not having strong striking in general to a guy who's being compared to like a Dominic Cruz, just having fantastic movement, the angles, the striking. Holloway definitely has that. Some of the best striking in the game, for my money, in the UFC today. I absolutely feel like he can reach out and touch Khabib, and who knows, he can maybe even do it and put him down. But I think just in the styles make fights way that things go, I think Khabib, and again, all the aforementioned factors, I think Khabib will be able to do what he does best and grind it out, get the W, get that lightweight strap.
Yeah, I think we're both feeling the same way on that one. And I guess that does it for UFC 223. Like most all, basically, pay-per-view is going to be Saturday night. I believe the Fox Sports prelims starting off at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. The pay-per-view at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific. Definitely going to be tuning in. Going to be a nice sports weekend. We got UFC 223. We got the Masters kicking. Tiger making a comeback. Old Lefty there. We got WrestleMania. We got baseball going in full swing. We got the hockey regular season ending. The basketball season coming to an end. Going to be pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to it. But definitely most, you know, I think the cherry on top is going to be Max versus Khabib. I can't wait for that fight. Thanks for tuning in. Pat, you got anything for him before we log out?
Jake, I am all jacked up on Mountain Dew for this weekend. It is going to be something special. Glad we could get together. Glad we could break it down on the MMA podcast. Always a pleasure. Much love to the folks, and stay healthy. Keep that nose to the grindstone.
That's right. Until next week, thanks for tuning in. We gone.